Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Bible study from headquarters. All right, now we come to chapter 24, verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, this is on Sunday, very early in the morning they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. So now this is where churches teach that we ought to have Sunday sunrise service, because Christ rose Sunday morning. But all the verses in the Bible pertaining to that show plainly that he had already risen by the time Sunday morning got there. He was crucified and put in the tomb Wednesday evening, still on Wednesday, and he was resurrected out of the tomb Saturday evening, still on Saturday. 3 days and three nights, 72 hours. So they came the next morning, early Sunday morning, very early, when it was dawning toward daylight, but hadn't been come daylight yet, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, angels manifested as human beings, and they looked like men. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek you the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. He's not here. He's gone. So why have Sunday sunrise service when it makes it plain here? That's not when he rose. He rose before that. He rose Saturday evening, hours before Sunday morning. He's not here. He's risen, like he told you he would do. Verse 6, now verse 7. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, verse 7, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these sayings unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. You know, this woman, Joanna, was married to a high official in Herod's administration, I believe. And they were some very dedicated, tremendous women who served Jesus Christ. She was one of them. And so they told these things unto the apostles, verse 11, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. They said, Oh, this can't be true. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, I believe it's Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. You imagine what tremendous conversations went on among his followers. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holden that they should not know him. They were not allowed to realize who he was just yet. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Why are you so sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem, and have not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Who are you, and where are you from? You mean you haven't heard about all the things that are going on? That's why we're sad. That's why we're talking about what we're talking about. Now, some people see this name Cleopas, and they say, Oh, well, you know, that must be Peter, or one of the apostles. Actually, a little research will show you that that was another word for Alphaeus. He was the father of the apostle James and husband of the sister of Mary. Let's notice Mark chapter 3. I like to find out details about things like that. Well, who was this man? It's kind of fun to investigate and look a little bit and to research and find out who he is. Mark 3 and verse 18. And here we see the apostles being named that Jesus Christ chose. It says, and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite. James the apostle was the son of Alphaeus, who was the same as this man Cleophas. Let's notice John chapter 19. And let's see, verse 25. John chapter 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene, the wife of Cleopas. Mary, the wife of Cleopas, or Clopas. And so you put these verses together and you realize that Cleopas is Alphaeus, who was married to the sister of Mary and was the father of one of the apostles called James. Let's notice Matthew chapter 10 and verse 3. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and so on. So I just thought I'd take a little time to show how just a little bit of study, and you can expand your understanding of the Bible on small things as well as big things. So that word Cleophas, you'll see, is interchangeable with Alphaeus, and it's the same man, and he was the father of the apostle James and the husband of the sister of Mary, Christ's mother. And one of them whose name was Cleopas answered, said unto him, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these days were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said. But him they saw not. So they're explaining all this to Jesus Christ, not knowing that they were talking to him. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? I wasn't going to stay here on this earth and set up the kingdom yet. I was going to go through the whole plan that the Father had laid out for me, which included me returning to the glory I had before, and then bringing the kingdom later, and so on. And he had explained all this to them, but they weren't converted, so their minds weren't open to it yet. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he just had a little Bible study with them there. Started over there in Moses, and what Moses had written, went through all the prophets and showed how those verses in those scriptures, or which one of those verses in those scriptures pertain to him and concerned him. And they drew near unto the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. It looked like he was going to keep right on going, and they constrained him. They wanted him to stay and not go. They didn't grab him and hold him, but they urged him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. When he did that, and he prayed, then their eyes were opened, and they realized, this is him, this is him. He's been walking along with us, and we've been talking to him, and we've been eating with him. This is him. He really has risen. This is him. And then he simply left, disappeared at that point in time. because, you know, he was human. He was in human form, and then he quickly changed over into spirit form and vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? We just knew something special was going on here, and he was somebody special. Did you notice that? There was something familiar about him when he started explaining the scriptures that we've heard before. But they didn't quite understand it until this happened. And he broke the bread, blessed it, and gave it to them. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Didn't say when he appeared to Peter, but we know he did. It said he did here, and he did. And he had appeared to Peter. And he appeared to them. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Just appeared right there. There he was. And manifested himself as a human being. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit or, you know, a ghost maybe, or, well, who is this or what is this? And this is frightening. And they didn't even at that particular time grasp who he was. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise or doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me have. I'm real. This is me in human form. I'm not some spirit, some apparition trying to spook you. And you can tell it's me by just examining my hands and my feet. And you can see and know that I was crucified, and here I am, and I still have the marks. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, they said, it just can't be. And they were overwhelmed by it and wondered. He said unto them, have you here any meat, any food? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. So they all enjoyed a meal together, and there they were, fellowshipping and interacting the way they had done so many times before when he was on this earth as a human being, and there they were again. And he was helping them realize, no, this is all real, and I'm real, and here we are together. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And there you see the three distinct divisions of the Old Testament. And we've gone through that before. It's a very interesting study. And the books of the Old Testament, the 39 books of the Old Testament, are classified into three divisions. And they are organized in that way. The writings of Moses, the law of Moses, the prophetic books, and then the Psalms. They all fit into those categories very, very well. He says here, written in the law of Moses, that's the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And then it says the prophets. Well, that's the major prophets and the minor prophets. And then he says the Psalms. Well, those are the writings, Psalms, Proverbs, Job, Song of Songs, etc. That's in the Old Testament. And then you get into the New Testament and the divisions are clear. And he was explaining to them that all of it had to be fulfilled that he had talked them so often from. And it says, those things which were written in the law of Moses, that's one division, in the prophets, second division, and the Psalms, third division, making up the Old Testament. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And now they can really fully understand. Now they can really fully become converted. Do you know why you can be here tonight at this Bible study, brethren? And you can understand these scriptures that we're going through here and why I can understand them and explain them? It's because he has opened our understanding to them. And if he hasn't done that, we would not be able to understand what we went through here tonight. No way. But because he has done that, we can. What a tremendous blessing. But what a tremendous responsibility as well, because we have to take that to the whole world, as he tells us right here. Continue, verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And this is what we must do with what we know. Verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. So we preach the gospel of the kingdom of God of the whole world. We publish the gospel of the kingdom of God of the whole world. And we teach the truth of God to the whole world, including repentance and remission and forgiveness of sins. He said, that's what you must do. And that's been passed right along to us. And that's what we must do. It's not enough just to know these things. We have to grow in our understanding. And then we have to give it out to the world, to those who want it and will do something with it. And those who don't want it, at least they've had the chance and they've been witnessed to. That's called doing God's work. Verse 48, and you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued or imbued with power from on high. You stay right here because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and you're going to be filled with it, and I'm going to build my church. And you go on over now and you start reading in the book of Acts. You come to the day of Pentecost, and he poured out his Holy Spirit on them just like he said he would on the day of Pentecost. And he gives us his Holy Spirit as well. And it is available to mankind in general when they repent and they give themselves over into his hands. They repent, they're baptized, they have the laying on of hands, they receive the Holy Spirit. But very few will take advantage of that opportunity. You know, in the past, the Holy Spirit was only available to very few prophets and leaders of his in the Old Testament. But now that Jesus Christ went through all that we just got through reading about and was the first begotten and then the firstborn of many brethren, he now made available his Holy Spirit to his disciples and built his church and poured it out on his church and then made it available to all of mankind upon repentance, baptism, and the laying on of hands. But not all mankind are called now, only a select few. But those he calls, it's available to them. And then later on in the kingdom of God, in the world tomorrow, during the millennium and the white throne judgment, it'll be available to all human beings. They'll all be called. They'll all have God's Spirit there, and when they repent, they're baptized, they have the laying on of hands, they will be endued with power from on high, just like they were and just like we are. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. It came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And we saw on trumpets, he's going to come back from heaven in the clouds, just like he went up to heaven in the clouds. And just like he left from the Mount of Olives, Bethany, in that area, he'll return back to the Mount of Olives. Same place he left from, he'll return back to. But he'll come back with power and honor and glory and majesty and might, and then be in charge of the whole earth and set up God's kingdom and subdue all of mankind to obey and submit and surrender to God and his law. It'll be a completely different situation then than it was when he left. He didn't come the first time to do that, but the next time he comes, that's what he'll be coming to do. In both cases, he fulfilled the assignment, the commission, the mission that God the Father sent him here to carry out the first time, and he'll do that as well. He'll fulfill his responsibility and his mission the second time when he comes, as we went through on the Feast of Trumpets. But the day of Pentecost pictures several things, one of which is he poured his Holy Spirit out on those he called and out on his church. And he said he would right here in verse 49, tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Verse 52, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And so that finishes up the book of Luke. What a tremendous book. That completes it. So we'll stop there. This is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.